3, 2, 1.
What's good, everybody? This is Milton Craig Spence III.
And America Richardson.
And we are live here, week 28. Community connection, walk together in our calling with the magic word, the magic ability, accountability. So here we are with this week, and we are about to jump head first into this topic because accountability is a great form of Christianity, and Christianity is a great form of accountability. So let's dive into it. America, take it away.
Yeah. Again, these topics coincide with our lives, so we have been dealing with all of this. I'm going to share a personal accountability story this week. I had to have a conversation with one of the people in our music department because, you know, they were like, you know, everyone is getting on my case. They're saying I'm doing this. They're not doing their part. And I'm like, all right, well, let's just look at both sides of things. Let's look at both sides of the story. You're saying that they're not allowing you to do certain things. And on their side, they don't feel like they can trust you with doing those things. And let's look at why.
Right.
And so when we broke it down, you know, we started looking at consistency and time that has been spent together. And if people don't view you as consistent, if they don't view you as, you know, being able to handle a task that you probably know you can handle, and maybe you can't handle it, but if you're not exemplifying that in the small things, then you have to take some responsibility and be like, wait a minute. It's not that people don't trust you or they don't want to allow you to move forward. It's that we need to see some consistency so that we can trust what you're saying. So if you're going to be working in the body of Christ on a regular job, even having a relationship, you have to be consistent, because if not, then you have to go back to accountability to see why that trust is broken, right? So in this conversation, as we're talking to the person and I'm explaining to this musician, like, here's the areas that you have to come forward in. If you come forward in those areas, I'm gonna back you up all day and be like, give this person more responsibility. Allow them to be able to do this freely because they've exemplified the character that needs to do this. When we get frustrated and we get mad about, you know, not being able to do things, take a moment to look at that, you know, to look at ourselves in the situation without blaming other people. If they don't like me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they like you or not. If you can do the job, they're going to let you do it. So when I had that conversation with them, luckily, you know, grace of God, thankfully, they received it well and are now working to adjust those things in their lives so that they can be held accountable, so that they can be trusted and actually have more responsibility going forward. But again, accountability, it takes both sides, right? It takes you, the person that's being talked to be able to go, you're right. And then it takes someone else being willing to call someone else out. Like, I had to be that person. Like, it's not that they don't like you. It's not they got a problem with you. It's these behaviors that's limiting you from being able to do what you want to do. And then you want more responsibility. You want to move up and do different things in the church. I can't let you do that until you begin to be responsible with the small things. I think there's a verse about that. You know, I give you small things. Let's see what you do with the small things and move into the big things, you know. What are you going to do with the gift that God is giving you? Are you going to cultivate it, take care of it, and move forward? Or are you going to be sloppy and lazy with it? And we have to be okay with being called out when we're being sloppy and lazy. That's my take on community work and accountability.
Yeah, so the destruction of the ego is something that everybody has to go through, right? But it's never like a one-time thing. It's like step by step by step, your ego has to take a hit. You got to go down till you have nothing else to stand on. There's nothing else to stand for, right? In the sense of your ego. And what I've learned is majority of us are not in position to even make a decision when it comes down to our ego versus, you know, when it comes down to accepting accountability on things, right? Because most of us would really, really, really not want to accept no form of accountability, because when you start accepting what you're doing wrong, That also means that you're willing to say, you know what, I'm doing this wrong, I'm screwing up, I'm messing up. And that right there is a kick in the heels, right? Like, that's a kick in the ears, you know, all kind of expressions that I've heard over time, but it's literally hurtful. And what happens is, because you have a hard time accepting that, it's hard to build a community around the factor of holding each other accountable. Because if you build a community around that, that means that there's a fear that comes with that of nitpicking. There's a fear that comes with that of like, oh, they just gonna be looking for what I do wrong. I think that the main problem is that when you come to somebody and you're holding them accountable, it's up to them to have the idea or have the heart to understand, like, this is not a fault-finding mission. This is literally me loving you enough to tell you, hey, this is jacked up. This is me loving you enough to be able to just share with you, you know, what's actually happening versus like just, you know, stroking your ego, you know, because if I stroke your ego, you'll never, ever do nothing wrong. Or if I fought fine with everybody around you except for you, you know what I'm saying? Like, eventually your ego will have to take a hit. So I think for most of us and for many of us, like, we have to have this ability more so to be open, not only to criticism, but be also open to the factor of self-accountability first, and then turn around and be able to give it to others. If we're not able to do it with ourselves first, I suggest you keep your mouth closed, because it comes from a different place. You know, that's just the harsh truth. Like, your accountability factors, what you tell another person, will come from a different place. And more than likely, if your spirit and heart is not aligned to the factor of self-accountability and being able to listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, correct you as you go to other people, is going to be received with a contrite heart, which is why the Christian faith in itself, you know, we receive everything as a misnomer. You know, church folks judgmental. Well, yeah, church folks are judgmental. So are worldly folks. So are Buddhists and so are Methodists, right? Let me say Methodists. So are the Muslims. You know, everybody's judgy, right? The problem is when you judge a person, are you judging them based upon Christ's righteousness, right? Because that's what the Bible talks about. Now, if you're judging that person based upon the righteousness of God and not your own self-righteousness, it doesn't mean that you're right. It just means that you're doing it from a position that you believe that it's correct, right? Based upon what the word says. So that doesn't have, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what the word is saying. And are you upholding that? And I think the biggest issue that majority of people will face in this realm of life is understanding that it has nothing to do with you when it comes down to holding another person accountable. Even though it may be affecting you, right? It's not about you. So when you have somebody in your community that you're holding accountable, do it for the likeness and for the love of them versus the likeness and love of yourself. Mm-hmm. You should be holding yourself accountable so much to the point where you're not doing anything to anybody that you're not checking yourself over. And it's like, if somebody comes to you to check you on these things, you also ain't fighting back. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you checking me on something that I had no idea I was doing that. Accept the L and be like, you know what, you're right. Let me check into that with myself. I'll sit down with myself and we'll go over it and I'll pray. And, you know, whatever God says, then I will definitely apologize for. But for the time being, you know, I do want to say I'm sorry for harming you in any way that I was unaware of. You know what I'm saying? And that's where, you know, that lies.
Yeah, for me. With everything you just said. I mean, even in the conversation that I was having with the musician, I mean, I felt it. He was like, you're not having my back. You're not seeing my side of things. And I'm like, it's not a my side, her side, his side thing. You know, what are we doing this for? I like when you said check the ego, because are you doing this for you? Because that's a different conversation in itself. But when you say, you know, you mm-hmm. did something wrong that you want to fix and you want to make it better and you want more responsibility, you got to show that you can handle that responsibility before, you know, you get mad at people for not giving you the opportunity. So I like that you said, yeah, turn it back to yourself, reflect it back on yourself, because I think that's the thing that we miss. And I like the other part that you brought in, like, you know, don't tell anyone to do anything that you're not willing to do. Like, you got to hold yourself to that same standard. So, you know, what the responsibility he was asking for and the thing that he wanted to do, he was basically saying he could do it, you know, over somebody else. And I'm like, look, we all working, we all growing, we all learning. Everybody gets the opportunity, but at the end of the day, that person is here. So they might not be perfect at it, but I'm gonna keep on using them because they're here, willing to learn, willing to explore, willing to grow. So it's all about the heart and the way that you're willing to do things. You might be looking like, well, why is this person never getting called out on their stuff? They're not getting called out because we're giving them grace. We still learning, we still growing. We got to be careful with being comparative too. Like, God sees everything. Just because he don't call you out right in that moment does not mean that he ain't seeing what you're doing. And because the same thing with somebody else, you know, he's working and growing them too. So that's the other reason why we got to be careful with how we come to people with, you know, being accountable, because the same measure that you are judging someone else with, guess what? You're being judged in that same manner. So we got to be very careful about the way we speak to people. It should always be in love. It should always be from a place of making each other better. But, you know, I'm the kind of person, I'm going to ask you this question. I'd rather people tell me than not tell me. Like, tell me there's broccoli in my teeth rather than just let me walking around looking crazy.
Yeah.
If I'm looking crazy, doing something that's not in alignment with the word of God, come to me. And if my feelings get hurt, let them get hurt at this point, because we don't have time to play, you know, with our soul and where we're going to end up, all because we don't want to allow the spirit of pride to take over our body. We want pride to be more in control than God. So I don't know. How about you, Milton? Do you feel the same way? You want somebody to tell you or just let you walk around in your mess?
Well, I mean, I don't mind walking around in mess as long as somebody helped me understand what the mess is that I'm in. Yeah. Here's the issue that I face a lot, though. If people come to me to talk to me about, you know what I'm saying, like something they have, some qualm they have or whatever. One thing about me is I've always, up until a certain point, you know, I've always kind of been agreeable, right? But as I've gotten older, I've realized that God gave me a mind for a reason to think for myself and to listen and to be able to equate things based upon the factor of what I'm hearing, i.e. using my intelligence, right? So when I listen to people, I listen. If that person is saying something to me that I know that I did and this is the effect, then I can say I'm sorry. But doesn't mean that I don't have a thought. It's just as well as when America and I are here speaking, right? As she's speaking, I'm listening and I'm responding to the nuances in her conversation based upon the factor of what she's saying, not in the illustration of anything that I'm smarter or better. It's just that I'm going back through everything she said and also bringing out my own points. The problem with that is this: if America took that and said, why is he always doing that? Whenever I say something, he feel like he got to expound on it. It's the same as if you come to me and you try to hold me accountable for something, right? It doesn't mean that I didn't take your accountability. It just means that I have my thoughts about what you're saying too. It doesn't mean that I didn't receive it. It has everything to do with the fact of conversation. So this is where the ego and the reverse accountability comes into play. If you are so upset with me because I have a thought about something you said, then don't come to me unless you just want me to be a slave to what you're doing, because it won't work. I can't be a slave to your thoughts, just as well as America can't be a slave to Milton's thoughts. America has to, you know, think what she thinks and have her own say, because if we are to ever grow or to actually have conversation, then those conversations need to be something that we can say that are coming from a place of solid love and solid behavior, in the sense that we are not afraid to talk to each other and stand firm on the fact that we love each other, even though you may not agree with the factor of what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with my care or love for you. It has everything to do with that you have your own thoughts. And the respect of another person's thoughts helps build community. It's not communal if everybody thinks the same. That's not a community. That's a cult, right? And if you expect people to have a cultish mind state when it comes to communicating with you, then you're not trying to build community. You're trying to build a control group, right? This is not an experiment. I'm a whole person over here. And with all due respect, I believe it has a lot more so to do with the fact that the enemy is a big influence to our flesh when it comes down to being right or wrong. See, when you look at God, God has no interest in being right or wrong. He has an interest in the truth only. If you say something wrong to God, it's not that he has to tell you he's wrong. He'll just reply with the truth, right? He's not in, like, the problem with us is because we have pride. right? Pride cometh before the fall. Your pride makes you argue. Your pride makes you be right or wrong. Your pride makes you say, I do this and I say and I'm right. Instead of just saying the truth. That person says to you, the sky is purple. You say, well, based upon the hues of science and what, you know, the actual color is, regardless if I'm colorblind or not, it is blue. It is different shades of blue. That is true, but it is blue nevertheless. The main color or basis or hue of said sky is blue. If you see it as purple, that's fine. But based upon the way the sky is, it is actually blue. Right? Now, that's where we come into play of, okay, that person who sees purple, but their truth is the fact that it's purple, right? But what does their truth have to do with the? You know, the truth is what matters. So when it comes down to accountability, it's either you did do something wrong or you didn't. And if you did not, you don't have to be like, I ain't do nothing wrong. You could just say, yes, I totally understand where you're coming from. Yet this is my stance on it. You know, and it's up to that person to either grow to your level or go from your level. You know, either they grow to what you're thinking or not. Right. Because some people, and this is what happens to a lot of folks, they go to folks and they like, I'm gonna hold this person. I'm gonna tell them. And guess what ends up happening? They be wrong. You be loud and wrong. You feel like you're telling them something. You know, it's just like people who have been in some very tumultuous situations. And, you know, why y'all don't stay together? But little do the people know that man been beating on her, or, you know, that woman has been berating this man, you know, in some form or fashion. So when that person says I'm leaving, it has nothing to do with the other person. It has everything to do with the things that nobody sees. And I think what happens is that we believe we're so right all the time that we don't understand that wrong is wrong and right is right. But you don't have to argue the two. At all. You don't have to argue the two whatsoever. All you have to do is do what's necessary in order to make sure that you stay speaking and doing the right thing, even if the right thing is unpopular.
Yeah. So like back in that situation when he said to me, when the musician said, you didn't have my back. And I was like, this is having your back. You know, this is having your back. Again, giving you the truth. We got to look at it more than one way. That person that said the sky is purple, I like to dig in. Why do you believe the sky is purple? Let's find that out. Tell me your story. Let's dig in. And I think that takes a little bit more, I don't want to say wisdom. I'll just say knowledge of communication to put yourself in someone else's point of view. To understand their backstory. I think the reason we say Christians are judging, or, you know, whatever you believe are judgmental, is because they don't take time to dive into that person's story, to meet them where they are, and then pull them into accountability. I think we go straight to the accountability factor, and that does not build community. That pushes us further apart. Because you're trying to hold someone to your standard, which is again, if that's the way you believe life should be led, I'm not telling you don't hold them to a standard. I'm saying allow them to understand why you live your life that way. Allow people to understand why God has changed and transformed you and how he has done that for you, because he needs to do that for them. They have to have their own course of transformation. I think forcing accountability is the wrong way to try to witness or change or motivate somebody into a way that you want them to walk. We have to understand their life and their backstory. Everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different experience and a pathway. And if we're quick to go, well, why you ain't wear a dress to church? That doesn't look good. And you have to be a representation of Christ. I'm quick to ask, where does it say that? Where does it say that I have to do these things in order to be in the house of God? Where does it say that I have to walk a certain way, praise a certain way, talk a certain way? Like, I think he wants me to come as who I am right now and get to know him and become, you know, a part of him, so that I want to walk the way that he walks, so that I want to put aside things that are not representational of him. But we were just talking about this today, me and another church member, you know, how wardrobe has changed over the years. Like, I'm pretty sure when Jesus was sitting across, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But when he was sitting across talking to the 5,000, that they were all in, like, sandals. Like, they weren't in their top-of-the-nine dress shoes. I don't even think those were invented at the time. So, you know, where we came from with this whole monologue that we have to be a certain way in church, that's a personal opinion. That's a personal thought process. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy you come in the door. I'm happy you took a seat, because that's a step. And then if you want to get dressed up to the nines, that's on you. But where we came with this whole, you know, have to be, I don't agree with that. But I do believe that you should have reverence for the house of God. You should have reverence for the things of the Lord. You know, I'm not going to be in church, you know, doing crazy stuff with, you know, the word of God or the Bible, or, you know, coming off talking crazy to people. I'm still going to have a certain amount of respect. But just because my understanding of what that is not the same as what it is for you, you know, I'm going to have a little bit more patience with, hey, what's going on? Maybe someone didn't have the funds to purchase a dress. Maybe they wanted to come looking right, but they didn't have it. Find out before you just go out there checking people and trying to set stuff straight. I'm very leery of people that say, well, you shouldn't do this in church, shouldn't do that in church. Show me in the Bible where it says that. If you can show it to me, I'm with you all day. But if you have a hard time with pulling up that scripture, then we need to have a conversation. And that's the backwards accountability that I was talking about. It's okay to say when something does not line up and you see it. It's okay to be like, that's not for me. I'm going to do church the way God would like me to do it. I'm going to go to my Father and ask him about this. Always bringing it back to the word. Even when someone comes to you with a criticizing thing, bring it back to the word. If it don't sound right to you, take it to the Lord. He's going to steer you in the right direction. He's going to put it on your heart to be like, you might want to listen to that person. You was a little off with your, you know, how you greeted someone or how you came at someone today. He going to let you know. Mm-hmm. And then you have to take that and be like, okay, Lord, you right. Let me get it together. Let me go get right. Or are you going to sit there and be like, you know, I'm going to do things my way, because that ain't going to be. But again, in the spirit of accountability, it's okay. It's okay to say like, nah, thank you for letting me know that, my brother, my sister. And I will take that to the Lord. I'm going to make sure that I get that together.
When a man or woman is like vying for the attention of a person and acting like, oh, I know this and I know that about this and that, and you know, God says this and don't dress it, don't do it. Like, I'd be looking at them like, listen, bro, you know, with all due respect, sit down, because you ain't make no book, you ain't make no manual. You literally are a child of God. Behave as such, right? If you're going to come to me, please come to me with biblical backing, verse, chapter, the whole nine. I need it all. Don't come to me and just say stuff now. Right? Because if you come to me and just say stuff, that means you're putting yourself in a position of authority. And last I checked, the only ultimate authority here is the Lord. So you don't have the authority to stand over me. The only authority that you have is to come to me and say what God told you to say. You can have, that's the authority you got right there. All right. And that could be taken from you or given to you at his leisure, at his whim, based upon his purpose and will for minding your life. So please stand down. Take your pride out of it. Right. And the problem that happens is majority of people at the church level will spend their opportunity and their time to make sure that you operate in a way that makes them comfortable based upon their level of ignorance or knowledge. OK. And this right here is where the church folks be judgy stuff comes from, because you go out in the world and you're trying to educate or govern a world that you're not even of. Stop. If you're not of the world, you can't govern it. You don't have a place in it. The world will not listen to you. The world will turn a blind eye to you. The world will turn its ear away from you. So stop trying to make the world fit into a biblical standpoint that the world don't want to be involved in. Huh? You can literally preach the truth and, like I said, have no interest in arguing it with anybody. Why? Because it's the truth. Yeah, I don't have an interest in arguing. What's your thoughts on this? I don't have any, brother. What's your thoughts on this? I remember they asked the person, some guy was like trying to trip me up, I guess. He was like, do you believe gay people go to hell? And I told him, I said, well, I believe that people go to hell based upon the fact if they live with God or not, brother. And I said, biblically, it states that anybody who lives a lifestyle that is not pleasing to the Lord, anybody who lives a lifestyle and they do not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior and does not believe in God, then they do not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I said, that's what the Bible says. And I said, a gay person at that regard, if they're living a life, a lifestyle that is a sin, I said, just like me, if I'm a fornicator, if I'm living a life that's living a lifestyle that is a sin, I said, I am not guaranteed. So me and the gay person to be standing right next to each other. I said, so I'm no better than that person. I said, I don't understand why everybody gets so hung up on one thing and not understanding that God already talked about it. Like, he already talked about this. Whatever life you are living, understand this is how serious it is. Whatever life you are living, whenever he calls you home, if you have not asked for forgiveness for those sins and turned away from those sins, you are not guaranteed, okay, a place in heaven. That is it. Milton don't have a heaven and hell to send you to. Neither does America. So it's up to you. You don't believe in it? That's up to you too. All right. Now, like I've said in other podcasts, if I die and there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no God, right? I'll be fine. If you die and you didn't believe there was one and then there turns out to be one, then you ain't going to be fine. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because at the end of the day, there is no religion that I have ever studied or seen that has one main factor. Everybody got their own beliefs and got this person. Not one religion has Jesus Christ. Not one. When you line the stories up, oh, he died and he rose again. Child, people can take prophecy and turn it into a story, i.e. turning that into a religion. And they just tell you, this is what we used to worship in ancient times. Like, how you know you weren't there? Stop it. There's no record of it. There's no equator, anything that equates to it. I said, but biblically, it'll show you that people were talking about the coming of Jesus in the Word in the Old Testament. This is before Jesus was even close to being born in that time. I said, so if they talked about him then and stories rang about a Messiah then what makes you think these people aren't going to draw these stories out and they're going to equate those stories to something that they deem worth the follow? It's just like people, I said, you know, I talked to a friend of mine. I said, when you talk to or you've ever seen a Satanist, right, at their church, and they do have churches, the Satanist church, right, their cross is upside down. They hang Jesus on the cross upside down on Easter. That's how they celebrate Easter. They put Jesus on the cross upside down. You understand? So when they do that, they're letting you know that's their stance. And guess what? They got every right to have it. They got, even with the Lord, it tells you it does not matter what goes in your stomach. What you eat or don't eat has no place, has no bearing on whether you inherit the kingdom of God or not. But if your brother decides not to eat that food, you as a Christian, you shouldn't eat it as well while they're around you. Mm. Never cause your brother to stumble. It tells you as a Christian, don't cause nobody else to stumble in their own belief. It literally tells you, like, let them believe what they want to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not the belief police. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't make them believe anything. The only thing that they are supposed to do is you let them believe what they believe, and you go on and you preach the truth, because you're not here to make people follow God. You're here to lead people to God and say, do you want to follow God based upon the evidence that has been given to you, not based upon the fact that I said so. And that's where the accountability factor comes in, when it comes down to, are you holding people accountable in your community upon the factor? Uh-oh. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, it says, my mic had went off for a second. Are you holding people accountable in your community based upon the factor of the love that you have for them? Or are you holding people accountable based upon your selfish, self-centered love? You got to challenge that within yourself. Mm-hmm. That's where self-accountability comes from.
That's good. I'm going to add to that, right? Because, you know, I just found this scripture that came to my mind when you were talking. Matthew 10 and 12 says, "And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart of that house or city, shake the dust off your feet." And this is Jesus speaking, you know, and he's telling people basically, I'm a summarize. He's saying, as you're out evangelizing and giving the word of God, giving truth, if someone's not willing to hear the truth, keep it moving. Shake the dust off your feet. Don't even stay there and keep having that conversation with them. I used to love when like Jehovah's Witness would come to my door, because I was like, oh yeah, we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to convert them to Christ. I was young in my Christianity, didn't know any better. And I would like have these long conversations with them, and we'd go back and forth arguing the word of God. And I was like, that was an error. Like, yep. I should have just let them go on. Like, after I, this is not, no disrespect, but I'm not going to have this conversation with you. Here's my truth. Here's the word of God. This is the truth that I believe. When I say my truth, I mean his word. And keep it moving. Not even have a nice day. He's very clear in the scripture saying, shake the dust off your feet. Do not bid them goodwill. Do not say, you know, peace be unto you. He says, take your peace back. Like, keep it moving. And that's accountability in itself, because if someone comes at you like that, like,
that's right,
not even trying to hear what I'm saying, that's going to make you think, like, why is it that they're so, like, I'm good. I know what I know. I don't need your truth. I know what God has placed inside of me. So we have to be comfortable, too, with knowing that his truth reigns supreme. He is the Alpha and Omega. The end, the beginning, the middle, he's everything. He doesn't need you to argue. Like, that's not what he needs you to do. Your calling is clear. Love, spread the word of God, spread the truth, and have relationship with him. It's very clear. I think we make it harder because we allow things to get in the way. Like, well, I know what I believe is right. That may be so. But that's all pride and ego coming out. That is not God. And anytime we get out of what God's will is, we get into the wrong way of thinking. Whenever we're in the wrong way of thinking, we're not walking according to his truth. So another way I break that scripture down, and he's telling us to, like, you know, to know who we're talking to. If you look at the first part of the scripture, he says, you know, bid peace unto the house that you enter to. And if they respond to you with a message of peace and they receive it well, you know where you are.
Right.
You know you're with his people. Those are the people that you can come together with, and you can have accountability moments. You can dive into the word of God. You can get into scripture, and no one's going to leave at the end of the day mad and frowning at each other, because those were truly God's people. So that's the other thing, too, is to know who to have accountability with. I know who I can go to, and like, you know, I was thinking this the other day, and, you know, do you think that's, you know, godly? I can ask those questions to the people that's going to have the motivations behind me, go, nah, girl, don't do that. Get back to your word. That is not it. And you have to know that as well. Do not go to the ungodly and seek counsel. You got to be careful with some people with titles, because they may claim they know God, but they may not really know God. They're not really having a relationship with him. So make sure that who you're asking for accountability from, and who you're asking to help lead you on your journey through going to God, that you know that they really have a relationship with God, that they really are walking that accountability journey. That's what I was telling that musician. It's not personal. They're not saying that they don't want you to move up and do more things in the body of Christ. What they're saying is be consistent in what you do now. And as you show your faithfulness, then we can say, all right, you know, he been here. He been doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let him move on into something else. We got to stop taking stuff so personal. It ain't personal. It's about getting you into the gates together. Y'all, we want to walk in together. Without you.
That's right.
Another way.
So listen, man, I mean, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be my last word. When it comes down to the accountability piece, we all have to have it. It's something we all have to do, and it's something we must take seriously. I want you guys to do that with yourself this week. Look at the things that you've been doing wrong, not just about other people, but you think things that you've been doing wrong inside yourself, the things you say to yourself, the things that you allow yourself to say to yourself, the things that you have allowed the enemy to do, the things that you allow yourself to go through. And I'm not trying to tell you not to have positivity, but my goodness, toxic positivity is a thing. The fact that you're so positive, you ignore everything as if it ain't there. That's crazy. That's like saying the angel is real and a demon ain't. Come on, man. We got to have a reality check here. Take some time this week, if you would, to really, really get with yourself and talk to God about the facts of the things that you know that you're doing wrong to yourself. Bring the accountability between you and the Lord and watch how your life begins to change, because that's what God looks for. When you talk about praying about your sins, your sins are the things that you know for a fact that you were doing wrong. You understand? The accountability for that is that you have an opportunity to go in for forgiveness. Now, imagine if you went to God, and I'm going to jump off of it because I can go for a while. But imagine you get to God and Jesus never died on the cross for your sins. Like, imagine what we would have to do, y'all. So you have a perfect opportunity to get your life right by just going to him and being totally and utterly honest. It's not like he don't know already. So just be honest, go to him and just lay it on the line. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing I'm going to add into that, I was watching a television show. Y'all, this is not a Christian show. Don't go watch this show and go, America told me to watch this show. I did not. But I was watching a show called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I think it's called. You know, and there was a part in the show where she says, I'm not really here. And she's chanting it over and over again as a way to like say, okay, this is not happening. Everything's going wrong right now, but I'm not really here. I'm not really here. And I think we have this tendency to disassociate with reality and say, well, this ain't really happening. I'm doing good. I'm doing just fine. You know, I'm going to just use my mantra or my motto. And we say that, but again, it puts us away, further away from Christ, because we're saying, I'm not here. And he's like, nah, I can see you. Like, I can legit see you. You're in the middle of the biggest mess possible. And I'm here to, like, pull you out. I got my hand out waiting for you to just ask me to come in and do what I got to do. Like, you have the freedom, the free will to ask him to come in. So my prayer normally is, Lord, I ask you to, you know, reveal to me things in my life that you would have me to address, known and unknown. And I lay out the things that I know that I'm struggling with or dealing with, or I want him to take, but I also want him to show me things that I have not seen, things that I may not know that are not alignment with his word and his way, because I want that revealed to me. I want him to put it in front of my face. So there's nothing wrong with asking God to show you the things in your areas of your heart that have not been fully committed to him. The goal is to get the heart right. The goal is to get closer to him. The goal is always to have a relationship where you can be transparent, you know, lay it out on the table. I don't know if this is something or not, but Lord, I'm bringing this to you. You know, if this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, show me how to address it and how to move forward. We talked about it like in one of the first few episodes. He has the blueprint. There's no point for us to try to figure it out on our own, but we do need to search it out and we do need to give it to him. So I do encourage you, ask him. Show me things, reveal to me things that I might not know about my personality, about, you know, my behavior that may not be in alignment with your word, so that I'm closer to you.
All right. So let's close it out in prayer. Everybody close your eyes. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for your blessings, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We know that we are not worthy of any and everything, but Lord, we know for a fact that you have made it so that we are able by your grace and mercy to live here on this earth. We ask for accountability to be our main factor. Hold each other accountable, hold ourselves accountable above all, and listen to the accountability that you give to us. Ultimately, reading your word first and understanding the ultimate accountability that's already been set forth, but then going out there to live a life worthy of the calling that has been given to us so that we may be able to recount and make an account for each and every step that we've taken towards positivity, that being follow your righteousness in your way. Thank you, Lord, for the love. Thank you, Lord, for the peace. Watch over our family and friends, and ultimately forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, y'all. So here we go, man. We clocking out. We appreciate everybody for tapping in, for tuning in. We love you. God bless you. And of course, peace, love, and chicken grease. I just threw up gang signs. All right. There you go. All right, y'all. Peace out.